Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Liat Meyerfeld, and I'm excited to be learning Sefer Shemot with you. Our Parsha this week is Parashat B'Shalach. A student is reading the Bible for the first time. His professor walks by and hears the student. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What are you so excited by? Asks the professor. And the student says, what a God! He split the sea, the Jews walked through to freedom. The professor says to him, you know, some people think it was only 5 inches of water, so it's not such a miracle. The student thinks about it and says, hallelujah, even more amazing. God drowned the Egyptians in 5 inches of water. What a God. Parashat B'Shalach describes to us the immediate events following Bnei Israel's leaving Egypt, focusing on the roller coaster of extreme emotions of the people. They're scared of future confrontation. Hashem takes them on a roundabout way to Israel so they settle into their freedom before battling the nations living in Israel. For a while, they're able to focus on Hashem's promise that had kept them strong through the slavery. Moshe brings out the bones of Yosef, who had promised them with these special code words, so to speak, Pakod Yifkod, Hashem will surely redeem you. They're fortified by these words repeated by Moshe to show he was the one chosen to take them out. But they are petrified to see the huge, powerful Egyptian army closing in on them. Are we going to die in the desert? And they are calmed by Hashem's moving of the cloud that was in front of them to behind, where it separated them from the Egyptian army. Moshe raises his staff, the waters are split, and the Jewish people walk through the dry land with water like a high protective wall on either side. The waters then crash down on the Egyptian army, which is killed, and their wealth washed up on the shore. Hallelujah! What a God! We're told in great detail that Moshe leads the Jewish people in a song of hallelujah. Press, praise, and thank Hashem. And Miriam sang with the women. Miriam's song is special in that she and the women are also dancing and have musical instruments. We don't take this for granted. We immediately asked. Miriam had a tof, a drum, a tambourine. Why? If you were running out of Egypt, would you rush to take a tambourine? We go around our Shabbat table with introductions and different prompts, and sometimes we'll ask, if you could save one thing, what would it be after the basic needs? It's a very poignant question after the destruction of October 7th. People say pictures, mementos and memories, letters, religious articles, a Torah, if I had one, a mezuzah, sefer, kiddush cup, candlesticks. No one has ever said a tambourine. Shocking. Miriam and the women had so much extra room in their luggage. You know, nowadays I always fly cheapy jet budget airlines. I can pack a whole week in a backpack, and I still don't bring my tambourine. How was Miriam so prepared? Miriam has dealt with slavery, harsh decrees, risking her life to save the babies, watching the plagues unfold, the midnight departure, and now the miraculous splitting of the sea. Throughout it all, the people are worried about survival. How will this play out? But Miriam is never worried. The Michilta teaches that she had complete faith and trust. Hashem will save us, and I will sing. So she knows that she needs to bring her tambourine, so she can thank Hashem. And all the women bring their instruments too. Song is the expression of thanksgiving for all we have, for our soul's connection with completion, infinity, with Hashem. So Miriam brought a tambourine because she knew she would sing. Someone recently said to me that this is proof of the concept of manifestation. Manifestation is the idea that if you focus your thoughts on something, you can bring it to existence. Pray, believe, and you will receive. Believe, and you will receive. Maybe Miriam believed it enough, and it manifested in Bnei Israel's salvation. Manifestation, if you believe it, it will be. And people want all prayer to be like this. I ask, and if I have enough kavana, intention, if I believe enough, it will come true. I want to explain why this is a problem and how we are meant to pray and how we are meant to sing. I'm the first to admit that I'm an Amazon junkie. What is so amazing about Amazon is that they basically always have what you want. You might need to pay a bit more for speed, but you'll get what you're looking for in 2 days. And it's cheap, so minimal investment. Amazon Prime and I have a perfect relationship. I put in my wish list and Amazon delivers. So this brings me to my introduction of Amazon Prayer. Smiley arrow logo. It seems that many people believe in this method of prayer. Amazon Prayer ascribes to the same method as Amazon shopping. With Amazon Prayer, I put in a list of requests, and since I've been a good girl, and since I'm written in the Book of Life, I assume that all these good things will come to me. I pray for a whole list of things that I want, and I'm a good person, I've prayed really hard, I should get those things. The method works amazingly online. How about with God? Can I manifest everything through prayer? What I have found is that if I send Hashem a shopping list, maybe I will get some of the things I ask for. Maybe some money, usually not as much as I think I need. Some health, not always as good as what I would want. A new car, though unfortunately definitely not the convertible I'd specifically asked for. The Amazon shopping list approach to prayer is not guaranteed at all. It doesn't manifest our prayer requests. In Amazon prayer, the problem is that we misrepresent Hashem. We try to make God out to be malleable, to be an incompetent parent who doesn't know what to do with his kid, so whatever the child whines loudly enough about, he gives. But this is not faith, because God doesn't automatically manifest when we want things enough, when we want it enough, pray for it enough. It's not that if we daven enough, he will finally hear us. Hashem hears us just fine. And it would also mean that when we didn't get what we asked for, it's because we didn't pray hard enough or weren't good enough. And that's a huge responsibility. I want to posit that we have to relearn how to pray and what to pray for. For me, it changed everything in my praying. Rav Dessler, in his seminal book, Michtav Meliyahu, explains that if you want your prayers to manifest, so to speak, and get what you ask for, be conscious of what you ask for. There is actually a prayer, says Rav Dessler, that is always manifested. Rav Dessler teaches us what we are supposed to ask for. It's told to us clearly in a verse in Tehillim, chapter 145. God is close to all those that call out to him. Karov Hashem lechol korav. He is close if I call out sincerely. Lechol asher yikra'u be'emet. Listen carefully, this is beautiful. I ask Hashem to be close to him, and he will be close. Our desire for closeness is immediately manifested in closeness. The prayer for closeness is always immediately answered. Hashem is close. Okay, but how about the whole list of requests that we have? Classic prayer has requests, of course. So what are we asking for? Everything else besides closeness that I ask for are tools to gain closeness. Give me wisdom so I can make choices to be close. Health so I can physically function and see the world through a Torah lens. Peace so I can calmly walk to be godly. If I want to be close to Hashem, I will see opportunities everywhere. If I want to be close to Hashem, I will see him close when I get the tools I asked for, and even when I don't get the specific tools I asked for. If I receive the tools I asked for, I sing because I can use them to be godly. And if I don't receive the tools I ask for, I sing because Hashem is with me without those tools. I sing because my goal of seeing Hashem and feeling close to him is reached regardless of the tools. This isn't easy. Not easy at all. When we do get everything, it's not always easy to see Hashem. Moshe in Devarim, chapter 32, describes what happens when things are so good. Vayishman yeshurun vayivat. When we get fat, we kick back. We force Hashem out of the picture. Because it's hard to make room for Hashem when it's me who earned the money. Me who was smart enough to close the deal. Me who knew what to choose. Me who knew how to set it up so beautifully. Where is Hashem then? We need to strive to see Hashem in the light. I was once lucky enough to sit with a big philanthropist as he was greeting charity collectors. Between every two or three people, he said some Tehillim. I asked him. He said the only way he can keep his focus is to constantly remind himself that he is only Hashem's conduit for the money. He wants to stay focused on the source as he's writing checks from his own bank account. When we don't get what we think is perfect, it's hard to see Hashem then. We feel alone. When a good person experiences challenges, that's hard. And we can never judge another person in their time of difficulty because we've all been in that place, the place where we struggle to feel the closeness. We know Gamzu Latova, that ultimately it's all for good. But I think that sometimes we rush to say it too fast and we don't allow ourselves to process the pain properly. Years ago, I listened in on a conversation my friend had with an older woman who had been through everything. She lost her family in the camps, lost her second husband, her daughter was in crisis situations, she fought cancer twice. And this older woman was singing. My friend asked her, "How do you do it?" And the old woman answered, "I went through years of sadness and anger. But then I realized that only when I lost everything could I truly feel like I have Hashem and only Hashem." And she was radiant. At the time, I didn't even know how to process that. Now I'm still trying to understand. But I know that in times of darkness, we need to pray to feel Hashem's closeness. I've met more people like this who see that everything is letova. They live with purpose and connection. Unfortunately, I've lost friends to horrible diseases. Throughout their illness, they found within themselves clarity, and with it came a complete calm. They are my heroes. To feel protected by God then, when it's dark, wow. I listen and learn as they sing. Theirs is not a song of manifestation that what I prayed for came true. Manifestation is simple. It makes God our Amazon prayer delivery guy. If I want it, it will happen, and I sing. That's not real song. Theirs is real singing and seeing Hashem in whatever situation. Do we understand? Not always. But it's not up to us to understand. But we recognize it is Lemancha Hashem, for you, God. This is why King Solomon's deepest writings, Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim, the pinnacle of singing, is our relationship with Hashem. Lehit palel, to pray, we translate it, but it really means to look inside. Am I using what I've been given to see Hashem in this world? To look into myself and ask myself, am I trying to connect with Him? To find Him? Instead of Amazon prayer, let's try the guaranteed prayer that will always manifest. It will take a lifetime of work. We call it Avodat Hashem. It's work. When I turn to Hashem and I say, my life is perfect, I need you to be part of it. I need to know that these blessings are your connection with me. And Hashem says, here I am with you. Or I turn to God and I say, I'm confused. This isn't what I'd planned. I need you to be part of this. I need to know that through all these challenges, you are with me. And Hashem says, here I am with you. I haven't seen this inside anywhere, but I think that Miriam didn't bring a brand new tambourine so that one day when there will be salvation, she will use it. Miriam brought her tambourine because she owned it all along. She used her drum every day, so she took it with her, together with the women. They sang and danced every day. Miriam taught the women that their prayers for closeness were constantly answered with a yes. They felt Hashem with them always, during the slavery and darkness, and now in redemption and light. The Chasam Sofer, Pressburg, 17 and 1800s, asks why Miriam's song was so short. It doesn't mention the Jewish people's salvation or Moshe's great dreams for the future. Their entire Shira consists of one statement describing the Egyptians' downfall. And he shares a beautiful idea explaining the Mechilta telling us the women in Egypt were righteous. For the righteous, such as the Jewish women of that generation, miracles weren't extraordinary events. Since the natural world only exists because of the merit of the Jews and Torah, it follows that for the true believers in Torah, such as Israel's women, nature can do anything, even split the sea, so that the Torah and its followers can survive. For these women, it wasn't necessary to specifically sing Hashem's praises for saving them. This extraordinary miracle, and it was perceived as a miracle by their husbands, was from the women's rarefied perspective, simply a natural occurrence that had to happen. They had always sung, no matter what Hashem brought their way. They knew it was all part of the process. But here they added praise for Hashem destroying their enemy, an event that wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary for them to witness their enemy's destruction in order for them to survive. So on this alone, they sang an extra Shira. At the Pesach Seder, when we sing Dayenu, I've always wondered, really? Dayenu? It was enough to die in the desert? It was enough to stand at Har Sinai and not get the Torah? No. Dayenu doesn't mean it's enough physically for that to happen. Dayenu means it was enough so that we can see Hashem. Taken out of Egypt, enough to sing. Split the sea, enough to sing. Traveling in the desert, enough to sing. At every stage, we should be able to see Hashem. At every stage, we can sing. I'll end with the existential question. Where can I find Hashem? And the Kotzker Rebbe's concise, succinct, Miriam-esque answer. Wherever you let Him in. As in the redemption from Egypt, so too in all redemptions, we are inspired to mirror Miriam, to desire closeness to Hashem, to pray for tools to bring Him into our lives, and to listen clearly to Hashem's answer manifested immediately. I am here. I am close. And that is a song worth singing. Thank you for learning together.